This is the Perth Asian Lawyer Podcast with Raymond Tan. Episode 2, Wills.
Good evening. This is Raymond Tan from Tan and Tan Lawyers. I am the owner of Tan and Tan Lawyers located at East Perth in sunny Western Australia. I am pleased that you are able to spend some time to listen to this podcast on yet another interesting area of the law. For interesting information about the law, please visit our website at www.tanandtanlawyers.com. For those who do not know, we have a free email legal advice service at ask@tanandtanlawyers.com. Today, I have on the phone Jeff Miles, who is my personal business coach. I suppose the question you might ask is, why would a lawyer need a business coach? Well, legal practice is just like any other business. There are always ways to make it run better so that the services that we provide to our clients can be improved. Jeff has been my business coach for over 12 months, and his business is called The Business Doctor. Jeff, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, Raymond. How are you? It's great to be here.
And where are you right now, Jeff?
I'm on the other side of Australia. You're in Western Australia, and I'm over here in Sydney.
Jeff, would you like to tell us a bit about your business?
Sure, thank you, Ray. It's a general business coaching practice where I help small business owners achieve their net profit goals and perhaps help them set some exit strategies for their business or growth strategies and put those in place. Just very similar to the way I've been working with yourself, Ray.
Good, good. And I suppose one of the questions that your clients frequently ask you about would be the questions of wills.
It absolutely is. Now, that brings up one of the first ones that I've got for you tonight. I've got probably about six or seven questions, if I may, Ray. The first one being is, why do I need a will?
Well, if you don't have a will, you could cause a lot of problems when you go to the big place in the sky or down below. And the biggest problem you have is that if you do not leave a will that is properly executed, you may find that your family starts squabbling with each other over every bit of asset that you have. So a will is very, very important, Jeff.
What about my age is I'm mature and I've got two kids at 14 years of age and mortgages and all that sort of stuff. How old should a person be to consider a will?
Well, I suppose the first point is if you're not above 18, you cannot make a will. And if you do not have any assets, I suppose, then you'll be wasting your money making a will. Unless you win lotto sometime when you are not aware. And hence, a will could cover such an eventuality. But generally, you will prepare a will if you have any assets that can be given away. For example, superannuation.
How would it affect a person who's got a superannuation package?
Well, a will sometimes helps in the sense that the superannuation trustee can be told, if anything happens to me, this is what I want to leave to my family. However, there's a slight difference here in the sense that a superannuation trustee, even though you have given them strict instructions as to how you want to split your superannuation, they may take other matters into consideration. For example, I had a case recently where a person who was working in Western Australia died in a horrific accident, and he had just married and the wife was actually pregnant and were about to give birth in about 3 months or 3 months after his death. Now, in his superannuation policy, he instructed the super trustees to give all the assets to his wife because obviously at that time he did not know that he was going to have a child. The superannuation trustee, upon finding out that there was a child, decided to give part of the superannuation fund to the unborn child. So that was pretty good, I suppose. It looked after the interests of this child. Jeff?
I can just see that one of my questions coming up is about a blended family, but I'm going to come to that. Just before we move on out of this one here about the necessity to have a will, is it different for a guy to a girl? Is it different for a male to a female to have a will?
No, it's all the same. The important thing is if you get married, you need to change that will immediately.
Okay, well, moving on to then getting married, what about, is a will necessary for a single parent?
I think that this is one of the most important things that a single parent should have, especially if they are children. that are pretty young. So, because one of the issues that you need to consider is that we don't just look at assets, we look at who's going to look after the children if something happens to that single parent. So you need to make it very clear what your wishes are regarding who the proposed guardian of the children should be. So definitely for a single parent, it is important.
What about if a single parent is involved and they perhaps meet with an untimely death for their children? How would guardians or a guardianship be set up? What should a person consider about a guardian if they're a single parent?
Well, the first point is they should try to appoint a guardian who is acceptable to the rest of the family. In the sense that if you have extended families, parents who are still alive, brothers and sisters who are still alive, and you decide you want to go and appoint a friend, you need to make sure that they all get along together. And the guardian needs to be aware about what your wishes are regarding the schooling of the child or the children. The religious upbringing of the children is very important. And I suppose if you do not think of all these issues properly before you appoint that guardian, it could cause major issues in the family court, because interested family members can bring an application to the family court to challenge your decision.
One of the things that comes out of this one here is, from my own experience, is with some of my clients. And whenever I take on a new client, I always look at their estate issues before we move on to their business side. And I ask most of my clients, do they have a will? And some, you know, 50% don't. And of the 50% that do, I say, well, who's going to be the executor? And they say, oh, they want my brother or sister or cousin. And then I turn around and say, have you told them that you want them to become the executor? And half the time, the answer is no.
Well, that's terrible, because if you have appointed an executor and that executor doesn't want to act for you or is unhappy about acting, then you have a major problem. And I'm more concerned that the beneficiaries have respect for the executor or trustee. But the most important question that I ask my clients when they make a decision as to who to appoint as the executor is, I ask them, does this guy or the executor that you propose to appoint, does he have any financial acumen or financial sense as to what to do with your assets? That's the most important question. But the next question would be, how much do you trust this executor? Is he likely to sign the documents and disappear with your estate funds? That's a very important issue.
I can see why people have to go to a lawyer to get a will draft, because you're almost scaring me half to death just at asking these questions.
Yeah.
I've got another one for you. What's the effect on a woman who may have been married or with a dependent child who enters a new relationship, and let's say they've got a personal asset of a house or, say, a couple $100,000 of equity in the house? Does the fact that they're married or living together change the way that the estate can divide up those assets?
It does, because the moment you marry, whatever wills you have made before is cancelled. And that's a point that not many people are aware of, and it could cause a lot of problems if subsequently one party passes away. Then you have the spouse coming around to say that all these assets belong to them according to the law. And the laws are quite stringent right now, because there's a schedule of how assets are to be divided in different circumstances. For example, if you have a spouse, then the first $75,000 goes to the spouse, and then there's a formula as to how it's split between the spouse and your children. So if you don't prepare a will properly that states exactly how you're going to split up these assets, it could cause major, major problems.
Well, just in that, if I turn around and say, or somebody turns around and says, I want nothing to go to my daughter or to my wife's daughter, to the new spouse's child, can that person contest that, or is there some way that you could give them a token gesture saying, here's $10,000, now go away?
Well, you can try and give a token gesture to say that you're not going to get anything because you've been a real idiot as far as I'm concerned when I was alive. However, the law says that if you are able to show that you were dependent on the deceased person, you may be able to file an application under the Inheritance Act. Now, whether you succeed or not is a different question. So you can try and say that I'm not going to give anything to this wayward son of mine or wayward daughter. However, they can always challenge it, and that causes a major problem in the courts.
I can see it would do. So just on that, I'm now going to step out on a limb and I'm going to ask you, do you have any horror stories? What's a horror story that you've dealt with where somebody didn't have a will?
Well, I had one recently where this simple farmer left quite a bit of money and he prepared a will and was trying to save money. And he did it himself and he did not get it executed properly. And then there's a question as to whether he was actually sane when he prepared the will. So he left, I believe, 6 children. And the first point was none of them agreed who was to be the executor of this will because he didn't put it down properly. So the first issue that this family faced was, how are we going to appoint a trustee or an executor among all of us? And they can't even agree on that. So can you imagine how they're going to agree on anything else? That's a real horror story.
But that must be common in most larger families where you've got 3 or 4 siblings.
Yes, it does happen. It does happen, and that's why I say you need to see a lawyer to prepare a will. Now, Jeff, we're going to take an instrumental break for this moment, and I'll call you back in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Talking about wills, and I can't remember what your last question was, Jeff.
Do people need, or if people have questions, which they obviously do, about getting their wills done, where do they go to next?
Well, my suggestion is that they see a lawyer, make an appointment to see a lawyer, and most lawyers wouldn't charge more than $200 to $300 just to sit down, go through what needs to be considered for you to have a will properly done. Like I said, you could have a will done, it's not witnessed properly, it will be challenged in court. And that could cause all sorts of problems for the family.
Ray, what do you mean by witness? How does witnessing work?
A proper will needs to be witnessed and signed by 2 witnesses at the bottom of each page of the will so that we know that it is valid. Sometimes the problem is if you prepare a will and you did not get it signed before a witness, or you only get one, the rules may not have been followed and you can be challenged. So you have a will that's been done, but it's not valid. And that, again, causes a major problem in the Supreme Court where they issue what they call the grant of probate. By the way, let me explain what a grant of probate is.
Yes, please.
If anything happens to a person, his estate is basically frozen. So if you have a house, if you have a bank account, nobody can touch that money. So the executor or the trustee of the will then makes an appointment to see the lawyer. He will then prepare the necessary forms to lodge with the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court will ask all sorts of questions regarding what estate this person has. And when they are happy, they will give you a piece of paper called the grant of probate. With that piece of paper, it's just like a court order. With that piece of paper, you can then go and sign and sell the assets of the deceased person. And with that grant of probate, any acts done by the trustee is recognized.
Raymond, I know my clients, some of my clients who've got businesses, have got assets, and let's say they've got their house that's worth $500,000 or $600,000 or $700,000, which could be owned outright. One of the spouses, typically the wife or something, might be doing the bookkeeping and the husband might be involved in the workshop or in the business. If the wife dies and they don't have a will, in a lot of cases, bank accounts have been set up in the wife's name. The husband doesn't know where the bank accounts are. He's not a signatory to the bank accounts. What happens in those situations if they don't have a will?
Well, if they don't have a will, as I said, nothing gets touched. You can't go to the bank and operate the account. Nothing can be done.
Well, how does the husband and wife, the wife's now departed, but how does the husband live? He can't even write a check for his business.
Well, he can't. If that business is solely operated by the wife, and there's 2 signatories required for the check account, and there's only 1 signatory left, the banks wouldn't do anything.
That's amazing.
It's a major nightmare.
I've got another question which relates to business partnerships of where you've got, say, two families involved in the business. Let's say 2 brothers or 2 friends set up a business, and one of them dies, what happens to the shareholding of one partner's assets if there's been no will or partnership agreement?
Well, if there's no partnership agreement, then of course the shares are frozen, and the surviving partner of the business can say that I'm not going to hand any monies over to the estate of the deceased because I'm now running the business by myself. So there should be shareholders agreement, right? Sign up between the partners to say if anything happens to one partner, this is how we agree we will sort matters out. For example, they could say if anything happens to myself, then if you're the surviving partner, you will continue to pay X amount of money to my family until this matter is sorted out. But the more major issue would be the surviving partner needs to make sure that something is done to finalize the business setup. So if your deceased person has not prepared a will and there's an argument between the deceased family as to what to do with this business, you're going to be left hanging deciding what to do with the actual business. So it causes all sorts of complications. It's irresponsible if you do not have a will.
It is not only irresponsible, I can just about see almost the funny side, but it's extremely serious. You've got somebody who's just about to die, and they're walking out of the living room or the where they are, and you want to say to them, hey, before you go, can you just sign here? But you can't, because these accidents or issues happen without warning when you don't have the preparation done. Hey, one more client, one more question if I can. Public trustees. What is a public trustee and what do they do?
Well, the public trustee steps in when you have a problem, you have a will that nobody wants to get involved with, or you did not have a will prepared, and you cannot appoint family member by agreement. So the public trustee is like a neutral person who steps in as a trustee, except that it's represented, or the public trustee is appointed by the state government. Now, the public trustee has a very good service. They can actually prepare the will for you for free. For free. Can you hear that, Jeff?
I can, but why would any government department do that unless there's something in it for the government department?
That's where it gets interesting, because one of the conditions is that you must appoint them as a trustee for you to get this free will. So let me just tell you what happens when the trustee is acting on behalf of an estate. They have a scale of fees that they can charge. And according to the scale, it's a falling scale. So of the first $500,000, they charge you 1.1%, which is about $5,500 on a $500,000 property. Any other investments, for example, there's another $200,000 in shares, then they charge you 4.4%.
Wow.
Right? And then any other assets after $200,000, they charge at 3.3%, which means that for an asset value of about $720,000, the public trustee's fees is about $15,000.
My gosh.
If you had appointed a family member as a trustee, they're not going to charge you all this kind of money. And wait, there's one more. If there's any income earned by the estate and collected by the public trustee, it attracts a commission of 6.6% every dollar that is earned. That's how the public trustee can afford to do this and give you a will for free, Jeff.
Gee, it's serious. Business is dying.
Is it? I'm reading from the public trustee's website in the Department of Attorney General, and they've got these fees all written out. And the funny thing is, about 5 years ago, when I looked at their website, I couldn't find any information about their fees, about their scale of costs. And it was only recently that they put this out.
So, Raymond, you've absolutely scared the living, or almost the death out of me. If somebody wants to get a will done, how much does Tan and Tan charge, or what are some indicative costings and time frames that it takes to get a will prepared?
The usual rule of thumb is that I would spend about an hour explaining to the client what needs to be done. And then we would spend another hour or two, depending on how complicated the will is, to prepare the will. And another 45 minutes or 1 hour to explain to them what they're going to be signing when the will has been prepared. So an indicative cost would be about $700 to $800 on the discounted rate usually. So that's much better to come up with this money instead of getting a free will from the public trustee. I would say that even if you do get a free will from the public trustee and pay that commission, it is better than not having a will at all, Jeff. It's just too complicated.
I'm sitting here scared that my will is currently not up to date. If somebody wants to find out more information, where do they go to?
Well, I suggest perhaps if they want to, email me at ask@10and10lawyers.com. And I do have a free email legal advice service, as I say. And I'll be more than pleased to receive an email and answer any of your queries.
Well, Raymond, thank you so much for your time on the phone. I think the listeners, if they've got some concerns about family law matters, or sorry, some estate planning matters, can certainly give you a phone call to your office, or better still, send you an email, because it's going to be free. I can't believe that some lawyer is going to give you something for free. That's fantastic. Ray, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and until I catch up with you again, good night.
Bye-bye. Yeah.